Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
But how about some good news for Patriots fans? I'll give you, I feel bad for the neglected Patriots fan. One guy who almost opted out, he decided not to, and that's Matt Slater. And that is a longtime team captain of the Patriots, Matt Slater. And we were chasing this yesterday, Ian Rappaport and I, because I was told that Slater was leaning toward opting out, and Rappaport eventually tracked down Slater, who said, no, it was a tough decision, but I will be playing. So there you go, Patriots fans.
Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. Look, we told you yesterday about Matthew Slater, and it had simply to do with the fact that my daughter, who's a strength and conditioning coach, was working with her kids on the same field where Matthew Slater was out there busting his hump in the hot sun, getting ready for the upcoming season. I probably would be surprised if Matthew Slater didn't wrestle with the decision and didn't think about it seriously. He's exactly that category we talked about, Rich. Above the age of 30, he's made, you know, a fair amount of money in his career. Not superstar money, but a fair amount of money. He's got Super Bowl rings. I could have easily seen him electing to opt out.
Oh, for sure. I think any of the guys that are sort of, even if retirement is slightly on the radar, like those type of guys.
And saying, Matthew's, you know, probably in that category, too.
Yeah, got to be. Got to at least be somewhat considering it. And you're right, there are a bunch of players. And around the league, there are certainly some exceptions. There are some younger guys, but there's certainly more of them, I would say, and definitely on the Patriots. It's that 30-plus range with all the other factors that you said.
And he did admit that he had wrestled with it, but elected to stay. Now, I've seen things written. Did Matthew Slater's decision influence other guys? Tom Curran told us on Tuesday that he thought that there were a number of players wrestling with the decision, both positively and negatively. Did some of those say, well, look, he's a veteran guy. He's a captain. He's a respected leader on this team. He's playing. I guess I'll play. I don't know if that happened or not.
I mean, maybe. I feel like this is a decision you make with you and your family.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, and you figure out what's best for you, safety concerns. Do you feel like, because one of the things I would wrestle with if I was in this same position as any of the players were, would be, all right, do I feel like, could I still get coronavirus just living my life in the next 3 months and not playing football? Imagine that. Imagine one of these guys that is just going to the grocery store or, you know, sees a couple of people, you know, not a big group, but just happens to see a couple of people and the wrong thing happens and they get it. And like, oh my God, here I am in November not playing football and I got the coronavirus. Like, there's a risk every day, right? There just is, unfortunately. There's a risk every day that you could get it. There are things that people do to limit that risk. And obviously going to a facility and playing football to these guys is certainly really limiting the risk. But are they going to get tested as much as if they were playing? I doubt it. If they, you know, all, there's a lot of things, a lot of factors that all these guys have to weigh. But I don't think, oh, well, teammate X is playing, so I'm going to play. I think it's definitely more on what they feel comfortable with themselves.
So it was Max Kellerman who we played yesterday, and it was one of those hot takes we kind of openly mocked at the time. Max Kellerman was suggesting that if Tom Brady was still on the Patriots, that, you know, some of these guys wouldn't have opted out. And as Wiggy correctly pointed out, you know, does that mean, you know, Marcus Cannon wouldn't have had cancer and was worried about that? Does that mean, you know, Dante Hightower wouldn't have a young baby at home and a mom with diabetes and wouldn't care about that?
It's the butterfly effect. None of that would have happened. They all would have been healthy. Yeah. The other families would have been healthy, the whole thing.
So Tom E. Curran, our buddy, was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he was asked if he thinks Patriots players would be opting out if Tom Brady was still the quarterback in New England.
I asked the same question yesterday. No, I don't. I don't think that would happen. Look, Marcus Cannon is a cancer survivor. I think that that is on its own planet.
Yeah.
And Hightower and Chung both have newborns or soon to have newborns. But I think when these players look at it, they're like, I've made over $30 million. I have three rings. I'm over 30 years old. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a cluster. We're going to sit there in our cars and wait to get into the facility to have our nose swabbed one by one every day. Then after the nose swab, we have to go through this process of getting into the locker room, then into the training room, then onto the practice field for a season that might not happen. And I think that a lot of those players are like, do I want to do that to go in there and go 7-9 with Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton or whatever we're trying to do? If Brady was there though, Dan, I don't think 7-9 would be in the conversation. So no, I don't think that there would be this many players opting out because they would be championship caliber.
Well, it's a take.
So the Dan Patrick Show the Dan Patrick Show put out the audio of that hot take yesterday.
Do you want to first discuss the take though for a second?
Yeah, I think it's as silly a take as I thought Max Kellerman's was.
I think it's horrible. And I think he has six Patriots that have opted out. And he
and
says,
by the way, all six had valid reasons. It wasn't, you know, hey, we can get the 350. Let's just get the money and run.
But he even starts to do it in his answer, but then he kind of contradicts himself. He's like, well, Marcus Cannon, I think that's understandable, whether Brady's here or not. And he's like, well, Hightower and Chung, like, they've made their money and they've played a long time. So you're telling me Dan Vitale would have 100% played if Brady was here, but because it's Cam Newton? Dan Vitale's never even been on the team, for God's sakes. And now all of a sudden he's like, oh, if my quarterback was here, I'd be out there. He might not have even have met Brady. Like, what is he talking about? It makes zero sense. And now all of a sudden, and I know Curran doesn't like Newton. You can tell that he doesn't like Newton. He never wanted Cam Newton. But he's like 7-9 with Stidham or Newton. Are we really in that place right now where they have the same record with Jarrett Stidham and with Cam Newton? Like, come on. And the other thing, too, and Curran said this when he was on with us earlier in the week, players are opting out because they don't want to get nose swabbed once a day. Like, that's his. He's so hung up on they have to sit in their car to enter the facility.
Well, he says in 90-degree heat. I'm going to guess they all have air conditioning.
I think most of them do. And if not, you should probably upgrade. But imagine that. Imagine not playing football this season because you have to get a 2-second nose swab every day. If anything, wouldn't you want that? If you're worried about the coronavirus, wouldn't you want to be tested every single day? And if you come back with negative after negative. Sure. I think we all would if you could. But Kern's hung up on, imagine these guys having to get a nose swab every day. You might as well just punt away the season. But if Brady was here, I'd get the nose swab. Like, that's a reckless take. I love Tom Curran. Let me say that. Love him
friend
on
of the show.
Love him on every week. One of the best guys covering the Patriots. But this thing was ridiculous.
Well, I think he thinks so, too. So the Dan Patrick Show put out that audio clip that we just played for you. They put it out yesterday. At 6:49 this morning, Patrick Chung responded to the audio clip. He wrote, "Damn, Mr. Curran, I say this with love. Yeah, I say this with love. You sound like a idiot.
Burn him!
Doesn't hurt the friendship. You're not in the doghouse.
Oh, good.
But don't let your job corrupt your brain, man. You know better than that." So Curran responded to Patrick Chung.
Okay. Did you fight back? Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. What does this sound?
He said, and I'm quoting now, "I'm sorry, Patrick. Offense was not intended. Reflecting more, I see why it is offensive to you. Spitballing theories about a person's personal and private decision and why it may have been different is insensitive to the situation. I apologize."
It's also the job. You know, you take a stab at it. You take a guess at it.
But you know what? I give him credit in this regard because we both thought the take was kind of silly to begin with.
I thought it stunk.
And he reflected on it and said, you know what? That was silly. I mean, come on. Now, he also said...
Yeah, that was a quick change, huh? That was a quick change. So did you were you bought in on the original take, or were you kind of half in on that? And then all of a sudden, Patrick Chung's like, hey, you're an idiot. He's like, yeah, I am an idiot. I was like, okay. I was like, I don't know. I mean, so did you never believe that to begin with? It's a lot easier to just to say things what you believe, and then you don't really have to backtrack too often.
Yeah, I mean, and somebody on Twitter responded to Curran and said, hmm, that's a tough take. And Curran said, you're right. I apologized to Patrick and Dante directly.
Oh, you better pick up the phone, call Vitaly, call Najee, Torin, call Brandon Bolden, call these guys. Cannon? Actually, Cannon, again, he sort of was like, yeah, he would have. But it's like...
And by the way, what I was told yesterday was that all six of the guys who did all had very legitimate, real reasons. There was no heat from the team. Chung told CBS This Morning yesterday the conversation with Bill Belichick was very, you know, positive and uplifting. And he said, you know, basically what Chung said was he had no problems with it. He understood completely.
And I think the timing of it is what it makes it even more understandable for Belichick and everybody else. Be like, all right, you guys are, we're going to do this now. We're going to find out, you know, who's playing this season. You know, no hard feelings. You guys stay safe. Maybe we'll see some of you next year. Maybe not. We'll see what the, you know, what the business of football holds.
Sure.
But we need to know who we have so we can have the right number of players going into camp, this weird abbreviated camp, and then get ready for the season. Oh, by the way, it's going to free up some money on that end, so maybe we can go out and get a couple of free agents as well to, you know, fill out the roster and go from there. So I think where they would have more of a problem, and again, hard to have a problem with anybody choosing, you know, health and family first, but whenever the, what's the deadline, the third? Like, if all of a sudden, like, on the third,
they
you got
said
a whole
technically
pile.
It's the third, but they think it's going to get extended by a couple of days.
Yeah, so even more to the point, like, if it's the fifth or sixth, and then all of a sudden there's, like, another 10 players that opt out, you'd be like, come on, guys, you really needed every single day to come up with that? Like, do our team a solid. We're not going to have, again, any hard feelings, but just the sooner you can tell us, great, we can all move on for whatever this upcoming season looks like.
We've had a number of players test positive so far. When I last checked, I think it was like 51 players on 22 teams so far. They don't have all the results back yet, but they've had, as they knew they would, you know, they knew completely that they were going to have, you know, players test positive. They have. I don't know of any Patriots who have tested positive. And the NFL, unlike the other leagues, actually says, you know, you're on the COVID-19 IL or whatever it's called. So they tell you when players test.
Yeah, which again is weird. Like all the sports have sort of different rules apparently with what they can say. But I mean, you'll again be able to kind of figure it out as players are out for a long time and, you know, it's not a knee injury.
And I know this was a big thing for Wiggy yesterday, and I disagreed with Wiggy then and I do now. I don't think money was in any of these guys' minds. Of the five players who have opted out for the Patriots, Dante Hightower, Dan Vitale, Brandon Bolden, and Najee Torin are all voluntary opt-outs. They get $150,000, which is almost like an advance on next year's salary. By the way, I did some checking on this. If you don't play next year, you owe the NFL $150,000.
What?
You do have to pay it back.
Oh, like, okay.
Like in Dante Hightower's case, he's going to get $150,000, but it's just deducted from next year's salary.
Got it.
And if he retires or, you know, he gets cut, then he owes the NFL $150,000. The only high-risk opt-out the Patriots have is Marcus Cannon, mm-hmm. for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. He is eligible for the $350,000. But again, now the high-risk opt-outs do not have to. If he retired, he doesn't have to pay it back.
Mm. Yeah, because there are definitely some guys. I don't think the Patriots, I forget what Wiggy said. I think that there are probably guys around the league that took into account what they would make this year, what they would make with the opt-out and everything else, and that was probably a factor for them. The Patriots, maybe not. But again, there's been a bunch of players now throughout the league, and again, I have no problem with any player opting out, but the fact of the matter is there are way more players who most people have never heard of that are opting out than big-time coming in on the NFL top 100 list guys that are opting out.
And Patrick Chung is listed at the moment on the unspecified opt-outs. So maybe they're and I don't know this to be the case, maybe you have to provide some sort of documentation that allows you to be considered the higher risk opt-out.
Right.
Maybe they just haven't, you know, put him on one of the two lists yet. But the other guys, Hightower, Vitale, Bolden, and Toran, are all voluntary opt-outs. Marcus Cannon is the higher risk opt-out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, Patrick Chung is listed on the unspecified. He'll be put on one of those two lists before this thing is done.
And we've seen now a few days where it's kind of trickled out more and more names. And I would say still far and away the best player is Dante Hightower. I'm not even sure who's second. Like I think he's the best guy.
That's probably fair.
You know, most teams, because you're thinking about, all right, how much does it impact each team? And, like, you know, whatever your predictions were a week ago, you know, how it was going to play out, how much of it changes. You know, Damian Williams is a good player with Kansas City, for sure. He's a good player. But they just drafted a running back in the first round. Their offense is still going to put up a bunch of points. They would like to have him, but...
Maybe Devin Funchess of the Packers?
I'm not a Funchess fan at all.
Yeah.
I don't like Funchess. I would think, was it Eddie Goldman, the D-tackle from the Bears? He's good. I would say he's, you know, that's a loss for them. But yeah, not still, we're
Marquise
still waiting
Goodwin,
for that.
Not so much.
Just fast. Yeah, he's super fast.
Really fast.
Yeah, I'd have him lower on. I mean, again, Hightower is the one that I think gets your attention the most, like even like around the league. You know, Pro Bowler. How many Pro Bowlers are gone?
And perhaps Nate Solder now.
Yeah, I don't think he's been as good since he's gone there, but he's a starter. You know, he's a starter. He gets paid a lot of money. That was another one, by the way, that was not surprising at all.
No, not at all. I mean, he's a cancer survivor. His son has had cancer issues.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, he is currently on the unspecified opt-outs, but that's until they stick him on the higher risk opt-outs. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Yeah, that one was no surprise at all.
I saw that he put out a statement about it, and you know, it's pretty clear, even though the decision seems so cut and dried in his case, for instance, it's obvious he wrestled with this thing. And, mm-hmm. You know, you think you're letting down your teammates, you think you're letting down your coaches, and even though it makes all the sense in the world, he should opt out. I'm sure it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't like he was going to tell his wife, well, I don't know, maybe I won't. But I have a feeling, even though it was obvious, I think it's still hard for these guys. I think it was hard for Hightower.
I think it's such a difficult decision for all these guys. There's no way it was, for any of them, it was an easy decision. And I think for a lot of them that are in their 30s, they're wondering, is this it? Like, am I basically being forced into retirement because of the coronavirus? Like, am I going to be able to come back after a whole year off? And like, yeah, I can try to stay in shape. But think about it. It's like a year's worth of an off season almost. And then to try to ramp it back up and try to get back into the league is going to be really difficult. I mean, think about it. We've talked about guys that have come back, whether it was, you know, Michael Vick in prison or Josh Gordon with suspensions or whoever you want, Plaxico Burress, like all these different guys that left football for a while and then came back. Not easy. And these guys are going to have to face that same thing next year. So I think a number of these guys you might just see, you know, officially announce their retirement at some point, or, you know, at the beginning of next year, say, you know what, after considering it, you know, I know what the off season, or I know what the end of my career looks like now. I know what retirement looks like. I'm just going to keep it going.
I'll be curious. I mean, I don't know how dramatically I've changed my perception of how the Patriots are going to be this year. I changed fairly dramatically when they signed Cam Newton. I thought when Jarrett Stidham was going to be the starter, and I thought he was going to be the starter, Buffalo was the best team in the AFC East. When they signed Newton, I then put the Patriots back atop the AFC East. Does the loss of Chung and Hightower and Cannon alter that perception? It might a little bit for me.
Yeah, they're definitely a little bit worse, but the Bills have lost Star Lotulelei, and I believe that's it, right? I don't think I've seen anybody else from Buffalo go. So the
right.
Patriots have definitely lost more guys and more impactful guys than the Bills have. But I thought 10-6 for the Pats. I think they could still manage 10-6, and maybe the Bills come in at like 9-7.
Tom seems to think 7-9.
He was saying 7-9, but he was like Stidham, Newton. What's the difference? And so I guess that's where I would disagree with him. I think there's a pretty significant difference. So yeah, I still got them winning the division, but it's gonna be tougher. It just is.
I mean, their top three linebackers are now missing. I mean, two of the three were gone anyway, but now you know. The third of the three is now missing as well. Their linebacking is just shot at the moment.
But don't you get the sense that Belichick is not just going to sit back and not use any of the money that they got freed up
and we've gone over a bunch of names. And Jadeveon Clowney is obviously the biggest name, but there are a bunch of established veteran football players.
We ran through the list with Wiggy and you yesterday.
Kind of surprising.
You know, how about this guy? How about that guy?
It's surprising how many. I guess I wasn't really keeping up with all that because you thought the Patriots were kind of set going into the season. But just to see how many guys are still available, I would think one or two would probably come in, and then maybe people would feel a little bit better. Like if you're taking away a win or two based on the starters and impact guys that have left, maybe if you add a couple more, maybe it kind of balances back out.
We talked about Eric Reed replacing Patrick Chung. We talked about a couple of different linebackers who were on the list that we discussed yesterday, maybe available. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, I think he will use some of the money. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think he'll use it on a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, but I think he will go out and sign a couple of guys.
And that's all it takes, because then you still have young guys at all these positions. Like you have young offensive linemen, you have some young linebackers, and so if you can just add in a couple of veterans, and then it's all right, best man wins. You know, it's sort of to a lesser degree what I'd been saying all along in the offseason with Cam Newton or Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton, for God's sakes. Like, bring him in there with Stidham, and now you have an actual option. You're not just giving the job to a first or second year guy. And if they win it, great. That means they're really good and they put in all the work, and you're set. And maybe you have a future star. But if not, you can rely on an Eric Reed, right? Like if Eric Reed comes in here versus Kyle Duggar is much more of a project, and I wouldn't expect him to have a big impact this year. Maybe next year. But this year,
yeah, more of a special teams impact.
Probably,
this year.
Yeah, because I just think, I mean, that is an uphill climb to come in here, no preseason games, barely any practices, and then like, oh yeah, you also have to replace Patrick Chung and Daron Harmon, who have both left.
Yeah,
like I'd rather take my chances with somebody that's been in the league for a while.
And just to update people on the situation this week from a Patriots and every team's perspective, but you have to have 3 negative coronavirus tests before you earn admittance to the facility. They've been taking the test this week. They're back there taking tests today. The earliest anybody would be eligible to get into the facility, according to Mike Reese, is Friday. That's the earliest. For some of them, it might not be till Saturday or Sunday. You have to have the 3 negative tests first before they'll even let you in. And that goes back to Tom's point, you know, that he was talking to Dan Patrick about and to us about. You know, then you've got to go through all these other procedures to even get into the facility. And then you've got to, you know, do this to be able to go to the weight room and do that to be able to go to the training room. It is going to be a pain in the rear end for most people. I saw Tom Brady was practicing yesterday, though.
Oh, he wouldn't miss it. Saw the video. He wouldn't miss it for the world. There's nothing.
Well, you know why? Because he takes the Protect.
He can't get it. So
no.
you might as well. And hopefully he passes out some of that Protect to all the Tampa Bay Bucks.
He's not wearing a mask. He's fine.
Hey, guys, I hope you're staying safe and healthy out there.
Yeah, you don't care. You don't care. Those are just words, Tom.
Well, he cares as long as they're players on his team.
His guys. Yeah. That was a message to all the people on Twitter or whatever, I think. But, yeah, for his teammates, they're probably pumping them all through with Protect and, you know, all the other stuff that he's got.
617-779-7937. Tom's in Shrewsbury. Hey, Tom.
What's up,
Tom? Hey, Dale, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I just had one quick comment. You guys were talking about, you know, these guys. I think it was Keith was saying that, you know, they may have forced, they're wondering if they've been forced into retirement because coming back is so hard after you've been out for a year. And you cited Michael Vick and Josh Gordon. The difference is those guys were suspended by somebody else's rules. These guys are choosing themselves to opt out. So if they're in retirement, it's by their own choice. It's not by anybody else punishing them.
No, I know, but it's still a year away from football. Like, don't you count that? Like, wasn't it Ricky Williams? Like, he decided, oh, I'm going to walk away and then come back. And, like, he was okay, but it's just that's a lot to do.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little awkward. You said their comment was, are they being forced into retirement? They're not being forced anything. If they really want to just opt out, that's on them. It's not on anybody else. And, yeah, it's hard to come back, but if it's too hard to come back and you still have a passion for the game, then don't opt out.
But if they're that worried about their health and their family's health,
yeah, you're being forced into it. It's not by the team.
Right. I understand what you're saying, Tom. It's their decision. But if they're sitting there and they're looking at, you know, their family, and you know, in Nate Solder's case, his son has been going through these cancer battles nonstop.
If Nate Solder would have been,
he might want to play, but
it would be irresponsible if he played.
Right. So, I mean, again, you don't like the wording, but I still feel like that's the case. Like, they've decided with everything that they're facing, they've weighed all the options, they're not going to play. They're not going to play any other scenario they're playing. But because the coronavirus is out there, they're not playing. So, therefore, it's forcing them into a potential retirement. I'm not saying all these guys are not going to be back in 2021. I'm just saying for some of them that are already over 30 and were maybe considering it anyway, it is going to be difficult to fight their way back.
I'll give you an example of what could happen with some of these guys. And it was the year there was a lockout in the National Hockey League. And they actually didn't begin playing until, like, Christmas time. And during the lockout, Bob Wilson, the lifelong radio voice of the Boston Bruins, said, you know what? I don't mind being away from the game. You know what? I'm not going to come back. I kind of enjoyed my time at home. And that's how I got the radio job to do the Bruins game, simply because Bob, after being forced, quote unquote, mm-hmm. into retirement, said, this isn't so bad anymore.
Yeah. I think some of those guys, because they, well, you know what? I thought I was going to miss it a lot more than I did, but. Okay, I'm spending so much time with my family. I'm going to keep this going. That's going to happen. I mean, there's enough players that it's a growing list. I forget what we're up to now, but it's getting up there. And you're telling me they're all going to be back in 2021? I don't think so.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Keefe's keys to the NBA restart. ESPN is running the countdown clock. 7 hours, 19 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we're getting close.
Till the restart in the bubble. Yes. But we've got Keefe's Keys coming up at 12:45. At 1:30, we've got our take that needs a 180, and we think we found the exact one. It's not Wiggy this week, but we think we found the one.
All right.
We think it'll work well.
Karin just had one. He just did it himself.
But we already did it on our own.
We couldn't wait till 1:30.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We had to get to it earlier. When we come back, we'll talk about the top 10 players in the NFL. And I don't know who does the voting for this stuff, but I need them all to line up, go behind the screen, and pee in a cup for me.
Krishan.
It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
On 1st and 15, Dalton picked off. Gilmore down the sideline. See you later. Touchdown, New England.
His tape speaks for itself. His numbers speak for itself. And he's a guy that I watched. When they played Cincinnati, he made a pick six, playing cover zero and playing outside leverage. You know how hard that is. I think he's probably the only guy doing that. I texted him after the game. I was like, bruh, you motivated me today.
Tre'Davious White talking about Stephon Gilmore, the only Patriot in the top 100. But Julian Edelman was 101, they said. The only Patriot in the top 100. We thought yesterday he'd come in at like 8 or 9. He came in at 9.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, again, it's so quarterback heavy. It's very fantasy football. There's only two defensive players in the top 10. And even though he's the reigning defensive player of the year, I think that was to be expected.
Number 9, you said Derrick Henry. I should say number 10, you said Derrick Henry yesterday. You hit that one on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gilmore was 9. DeAndre Hopkins was 8. But it's not until you get to the top 5 that things started to get a little interesting. So number 5 was Michael Thomas, great wide receiver.
Yeah, record-breaking year from last season.
Incredible.
So, again, yeah.
It's not till you got to number 4 that things looked a little squirrely.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So you're an MVP. You've been an MVP. You've won a Super Bowl. And you're the 4th best player in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes at number 4, and right then you could almost hear people around the NFL going, what?
Well, it's funny, because yesterday we were doing this with Wiggy, and it was the one that we all agreed on.
Oh, absolutely.
We were trying to do our top 10s. They were all different, but we're like, number 1 Mahomes? We're like, yeah, number 1's Mahomes. And then we were like talking about everybody else. And then you put it in the hands of the players, and for some reason, they're not willing to give him that credit, and I don't really get it.
Players are smarter than coaches in front office.
Yeah, okay, Sean.
Never.
I don't know if that's necessarily
true. There might not be anybody less knowledgeable than players. I mean, every time they vote for all-star teams and
some of the
stuff
Pro Bowlers
like that,
are
the Pro Bowl ballots.
That's true.
I mean, players are horrible at it. They go.
They nailed this one.
Let me see the stat sheet.
Yeah, right.
The only guy who thinks they nailed this one is Lamar Jackson
and Chris Scheim.
Yeah, Chris Shine.
Over on the other side of the room, there's a tuba case. Could you hand that to
me? Yeah, let's hand that over to Shine.
Okay, hold on. Thank you.
Yep. Here comes Chris Shine running into the
defense. I can't even express to you.
So you're telling me right now that Lamar Jackson is the best player in the NFL?
No. So here's what they got right is that Russell Wilson is better than Patrick Mahomes.
All right, so you want to talk about that, which is also not true. And I love Russell Wilson. He came in at number two on this list. But
by the way, Aaron Donald was three, just to catch everybody up. Russell Wilson, two, Lamar Jackson.
So you're telling me that Patrick Mahomes is the third best quarterback in the NFL?
I told you, I thought Lamar was a little high. I think everybody's recency bias.
A little high. He's one.
It's recency bias.
What we can't figure out is based off of last year. Thank you, Matt. Is it based on projecting forward? And I guess with Lamar, it's a little bit of both. But
let's just think it's the best.
Did this not include last postseason where Lamar Jackson threw up on his shoes and Patrick Mahomes won the whole thing?
Yeah, did they forget about that?
Won the whole thing. Lamar Jackson to me would be at best four. You could probably have him even lower on this list. So because if you're just doing the reigning MVP,
if we'd been doing it, you'd have had Mahomes one. I probably would have went Aaron Donald, too, but if you want to go Russell Wilson, that's fine.
Wilson.
They'd be 2-3.
Yeah.
They'd be 2-3. Jackson, the best he'd be is 4?
Baker Mayfield.
Somebody
to think about.
Russell Wilson should be number one on this list.
All right. That's better than your Lamar Jackson take, I suppose.
I mean, so here's the thing. Lamar Jackson plays the game a way that no one else in the league can, and so I understand why the players voted this way, right? He's the new, fun, shiny toy.
Yeah, he's
an unbelievable
highlight
season
reel
last
guy.
Year. Yeah, yeah, and it's the highlight reel. It's the spin moves, the jukes, the long runs.
Cool. He's wearing sunglasses on the sideline. He's cool. He's a cool cat.
He's a team guy. All he wants to do is win.
Yes.
He's the guy that other players are like, awesome. And he didn't also just get a $500 million contract.
But what I don't understand is the two guys ranked ahead of Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes has the best of both. So if you like the MVP season, guess what? Mahomes had one not that long ago. If you like the Super Bowl, guess what? Mahomes has one much more recently. Like, Wilson has this long track record and is really good. He's a good his team is always going to make the playoffs, and he's a dynamic player, yet he's never even gotten an MVP vote. Lamar Jackson's done it once, but he stinks in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is all of the best parts of both, and yet for somehow the players view him as worse than them. Like, that's crazy to me.
The players get it. Russell Wilson has been doing this for years. Patrick Mahomes has done this.
But that's my other point. Lamar Jackson's done it for one.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you.
But if it's the same guys voting, how do they contradict themselves so
much? Because Lamar Jackson is the highlight reel guy. And Mahomes didn't have a great regular season last year. He only threw for 26 touchdowns. Like, he have a great year.
But the year before, which is, again, not that long ago, he threw 50 touchdowns. This year, he got hurt, came back quick from an injury, and then won the Super Bowl. He won the whole thing. So what are they taking into account? Just, like, big regular season games, I guess?
They're probably also taking into account what's around him. He has a receiver who is in the top 100. He has probably the second-best coach in football. He has a bunch of other players on his team that were in the top 100.
So they're knocking him because he has Kelce and Hill.
Maybe they are.
Maybe.
I can't speak for the players. I'm not going to say that I can.
But speaking for myself,
Russell Wilson should be number one. Patrick Mahomes should be number three.
And Lamar Jackson two?
No, Aaron Donald should be two. Lamar Jackson should be four.
He's not even that high on Lamar Jackson, or as high as the players are.
No, I was right that he was going to be the MVP. I really like Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson provides a very unique experience in football, but I don't think he's the best.
Still, you
got to
admit, these are better lists than all the Chris Sims lists that we've looked at.
That and the one voted on by these NFL front office scouts and evaluators.
Really,
that was the tiers list.
The Athletic had that?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
That one was a shame. That was not
like
a great
list. Had Ben Roethlisberger in the second tier. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger was on the top 100 players.
Yeah, I know.
Now, there are those who cynically say that this is just a marketing tool by the NFL and that they rig the ballot depending on what they think will give the NFL the most oomph.
I don't hate that.
But why wouldn't you do Mahomes? Mahomes is the guy that just got
because
a
he's already got all contract. He's already got all the oomph.
But that's the point.
He doesn't need any.
But don't
push.
You want to ride?
We need
that
Lamar.
Wave?
We need Lamar Jackson to get up there too.
No, it's like in wrestling, Shime. Like the top guy every once in a while will take a loss, but he's still the top guy. But it's the guy that beats him. Now you have two top guys.
But LeBron's always been the top guy, and the NBA never shies away from just always riding LeBron. Why wouldn't you just ride your superstar?
Yeah, but they don't do like a top 100 list, do they?
No, but if they did, LeBron would be on the top every single year.
Yeah, but what would they have to rig? No, I don't even know if that's true. Wasn't there like an ESPN list where, maybe I'm making this up, that either Giannis or Kawhi was number one? But anyway, maybe it was the Ringer, but whatever it was. But I don't know. I mean, I think this is important to the players, though, because they probably look at Chris Sims's list or Chris Shime's list or whoever's listening, like, yeah, you don't know. But when the players are voting you as being the best in the league, like that has got to be that means that's got whether we think it's legit or not, it probably means the most to them.
Well, to other players, it's like you're being recognized by your peers.
Right.
That's the best thing you
can
ask.
It's the best thing in the world.
They had the video of them presenting the number one trophy to Lamar Jackson, and the theory being that you know he didn't know about it, and suddenly he was surprised about it, and it may well be that he was surprised because I don't think he thought he was the number one player in the league either.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet he was surprised. Shime. I bet most people thought it was Mahomes.
But I don't know why you're apologizing to me. I didn't think Lamar was the number one player in the league either.
You know what's fascinating, too, and it's just another way to poke fun at Bill O'Brien, is you look at the top 10 players, how many of them have been traded recently? Oh, yeah, just DeAndre Hopkins.
That's it.
Like, nice trade. The second best receiver, according to all the other players. I think he might even be the best receiver, but whatever. He's in the top two or three regardless. They just dealt him away for nothing. So that was good.
Bill O'Brien looks real nice.
He looks real strong. Where did he rank on the coaches? They should do a coaches top 32
so that's
as
the
voted
thing, though,
up by the coaches.
If it's the coaches list, Bill O'Brien's probably kind of high. He gets a team that's
mediocre
every year
division.
To the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's
before
true. Deshaun Watson.
There's a lot of bad coaches.
But when it comes to GMs, he is at the bottom
He's
of that
be
list.
He's got to be in the toilet.
Sort of like what they say here. That, you know, Bill Belichick, the GM, screws Bill Belichick, the coach type thing.
Although that recent ranking had Belichick as like the number one GM, didn't
it? The ESPN poll had the front of Patriots front office as number one ranked.
Like, yikes.
Maybe they really like Nick Caserio.
Or they didn't look at the drafts.
Or they just overblow the fact that Bill Belichick, the GM, screws the coach.
Right.
Major League Baseball is in a bit of a mess right now. We'll talk about some ideas that they're actually theoretically discussing. And how the Philadelphia Phillies are getting screwed this week. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back.
Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keefe.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
According to Ken Rosenthal, in the last half hour or so, another Miami Marlins player has tested positive for COVID-19. He says the team anticipated this as a result of their contact tracing. So that means at the moment the Marlins are at 17 players and two coaches who have tested positive, although Rosenthal says one of the players has since tested negative. They've got a mess in Major League Baseball right now, and I give you the Philadelphia Phillies, who, through no fault of their own, they will not play a game for 5 days. And they didn't have any choice here. They were the team that was out on the field. They've gone through their testing. Everything's been fine. But they will not play for 5 days. When they return Saturday, they'll be the road team in their own ballpark for a doubleheader against a team that was evicted from its country because they wouldn't let any teams go up to Toronto. And to take it one step further, if the Players Association takes the recommendation of its union representatives, they will play the first scheduled 7-inning games in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and this is really all a Marlins problem. I mean, the Marlins have so many guys testing positive, and then they played knowing that they had four, and then it led to so many more, and now you're worried about the team that they played. You're also worried about the team that was supposed to come into that ballpark. And I think the best thing to do is just to bounce the Marlins, or to whatever game they were supposed to play, that's a win. So chalk up a win for the Phillies or the Yankees or whatever, because, again, the way the schedules are set, AL East
has a million games within their division, NL East as well, and then they play each other. And also with the expanded playoff format, I don't think you're going to get too much of an argument because the top two teams from each are guaranteed to make the playoffs. And then there's even a chance that a third or maybe even a fourth, depending on what all the records are, can get in there. But you having these teams out, now you're like, we're going to make these games up? Like, is that really going to happen? Like, it's all, the Marlins have screwed all of this up for everybody.
The Phillies have two starting pitchers, Jake Arrieta and Zach Eflin, who haven't had a start yet. And they'll go 10 days between pitching.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to use their own ballpark on Monday or Tuesday. Beginning Wednesday afternoon, they were allowed staggered workouts in small groups. They cannot scrimmage. Yankees manager Aaron Boone said the plan right now is for the Phillies and Yankees to play a home-and-home series beginning Monday at Yankee Stadium, but the Phillies don't even know that yet.
Yeah, they got to figure out their schedule first.
I mean, all of this because you had one team that apparently did something stupid. At least that's the best guess anybody has right now.
Yeah. I mean, the plan should be if you have a team that has more than half of their rostered players test positive, you're done. Like, see you later. If not, get them all out of there. Get all the minor leaguers up there and play those games.
By the way, if you're wondering where the Marlins are, they are still in quarantine in a hotel in Philadelphia. They are not allowed back into their own city because the mayor has said if you come back here, you got to quarantine for 14 days. The Marlins are sitting in a Philadelphia hotel not knowing when, where, or if they can travel again.
And the thing is, you know, before this all started, you would have guessed, hey, if any team's going to get it, you know, it could very well be the Miami Marlins. But by all accounts and all rumors anyway, they didn't even get it in Miami. They may have gotten it in Atlanta, brought it with them to Philadelphia, and now they're stuck in Philadelphia. And you're like, you know what? Teams don't want to go to Miami, even though, again, they maybe don't want to go to Atlanta or let their guys out in Atlanta because that seems maybe more likely where they got it.
Right.
Got to be careful there. So, yeah, the Marlins are a net negative as it relates to baseball. They're one of the worst teams anyway. They were not going to win. They were not going to do anything. So now they're just standing in the way and they're preventing teams from playing games or continuing their schedule because, again, you have 29 teams seemingly doing the right things and are going about their business, traveling, you know, leaving their home parks, going to play games, and everything's fine with everybody else except for the Miami Marlins. But then the trickle-down effect is obviously was what we're seeing now with teams like Philly and the Yankees.
And even as we sit here now, they don't know what they're going to do about the Marlins. They don't know how many of the guys who are in their on their farm team, their taxi squad in Jupiter, are going to be allowed to come in. They don't know where they're going to take the team. As I said, they can't go home because the mayor of Miami has said, you come back here, you got to quarantine for 14 days. I'm with you, and I was kind of there anyway, but now I'm with you.
Yeah.
They got to bounce them.
Yeah, get rid of them. And it's a weird year, as everybody has said every day. And to me, it's not going to be a true World Series champion anyway. Like, it'll be, hey, good for that team. It's weird circumstances, and you made the best of it. You were able to stay healthy, and you prevailed in the end. But I'm not going to look at this World Series title the same way I looked at, say, you know, the Red Sox from 18 or, you know, whatever else. But you don't need the Marlins ruining it for everybody else because there are still plenty of other baseball games to be played and hopefully several more months of actual baseball. And the Marlins are doing their best to ruin that just in the first weekend. And it sucks for, I'm sure, you know, 10, 12, 15 guys on the Marlins were doing the right thing. And so.
And we're trying.
They were trying. And so, yeah, I feel bad for those guys because they were doing the best that they could. They were playing by the rules, but guys on their team didn't, and now they're going to lose the season for that. Yeah, unfortunately, you are.
I don't think that they should shut baseball down yet.
No, I don't think they need to.
Because the only team with positive test results are the Miami Marlins. Not the Phillies so far, not the Yankees, not anybody else. The only team is the Marlins, and you've got this entire league now in a scramble because of one team that apparently, reportedly, couldn't do the right thing.
Yeah, so it's just a Marlins issue. And so, I guess, I mean, there might be some fight about, all right, are these games just, you know, is there no game, or do these teams get wins, and does that affect the competitive balance and all that other stuff? But that's something that the league can figure out. But as far as, letting them back in and whatever. Like, no, don't take your chances. You guys blew it. And you blew it in the first weekend, which is insane. Actually, before the first weekend. Again, if you're going back to the rumors about what they did after the exhibition game. So, nope, you guys weren't taking it seriously, and we're not going to let you ruin the rest of the league for everybody else.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Joe Kelly, apparently a hero for our times, got slapped around by the commissioner of Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that. We've got Keefe's Keys to the NBA restart at 1245, a take that needs a 180 at 130. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.